See everybody. Give everyone a moment. All right. So before we jump into our training for today, which is all about being in the mystery and letting go, a couple of logistical pieces. So the first is, as we're getting closer and closer to the end of Sacred Depths, which is like so bittersweet to say, I know that for some of you who are going for certification, some of you who are going for certification, you're like, I got everything covered, it's all good. And then for some of you that are going for certification, you're like, oh my gosh, is this time to start biting my nails? I don't know if I have all of my coaching partner hours and this done and that done and all the things. And so, if that is you, I am here to tell you I promise, like I pinky promise, that all is well. You will make it happen. And the good news is that you don't need to make it happen by the time we're done with the program, because I know that for most of you, that is not like in the realm of possibility. You need time to get everything in order. So that's number one. I just want to reassure you that you have time and space. And even though my team doesn't like it when I say this, I'm gonna like say it anyway. Even if you don't get all your stuff in by the official date, we will still take your certification materials whenever you are ready to submit them. Okay? Like just know that. Like you have an extension. That being said, don't use it as an excuse to not get it done. Yeah, Angela's asking when is the official date. And just as I started speaking, I was like, I probably should have in my mind what the official date is. I believe it is January 1st or January 15th. And I'll look it up and I'll post it in the group. But again, I know that life is busy and I just like full transparency, every cohort, there are some folks that get it in on time. And then there are some folks that need more time, and we will do everything that we can to accommodate you. I want you to be successful, and if you want the certification, we're gonna like support you in every way to make that happen. There is less that needs to happen than maybe you think. Go back to the certification page in your member center and review. You don't have to submit all of your worksheets that you've done, for example. You just have to, that's honor system. You just have to check off that you've done it, that you've come to the classes. You hopefully have most of your coaching partner hours done at this point. If not, create a plan with your partner to see how you can get them done. If you can't get them done with your coaching partner, reach out to other people in the group, post in the Facebook group. It's great, as you've heard me say many times before, it's great to have different experiences with different folks anyway, and then you get to connect with other people in the program, and everybody here is so amazing, and you get a different kind of style of coaching when you get coached by them. So you have so much resource here to be able to complete your coaching partner hours. For those of you that have showed up for the coaching practice that Inbal has hosted, those each count as an hour for you as well. In terms of the additional 18 practice hours on top of that, I want to remind you that that doesn't have to be with paid clients. That can be with volunteer clients. I think the biggest thing is the recording. And honestly, the biggest thing about that is just getting it on the calendar and doing just the inner work to kind of get you over the hump to be like, I'm just gonna do it, right? But you've done this already for the mid-program reviews. So it's like you've created the neural pathways to be able to create the recordings. Caitlin and Inbal have, just with so much love, reviewed those recordings and given you reflections and feedback. I have no doubt in my mind, based on what they've shared with me, that you've got this for the final recording. No doubt at all. I've said this before, and I'll just share one more time. Sometimes people don't pass on their first submission. And I'm just sharing that now so that if that happens, you don't go into any kind of self-judgment place. It is because I am a Virgo and I am nitpicky, and I know that you are here because you want high standards for yourself. And so if the first pass doesn't quite make it through, we'll give you very, very specific instructions on what to tweak for the next pass, and I can pretty much guarantee almost 100% that it'll happen on the next pass. All good. Anybody have any questions on certification right now? No? Okay, if any come up, you can reach out to me. You can reach out to Caitlin. We're here to answer your questions. Yeah, Randa, I was saying earlier, I should have come to this call knowing the dates of what's due. It's there in the member center for you. I believe it's January 15th. Nell, you should have received feedback. Unless you submitted it late, you should have received it by now. Let me make a note. To check in on that. January 5th, Essie, thank you for looking that up. How does the exam happen? Great question. It's open book. So you'll get the final exam. It's, I think, 60 or 70% of the questions on the final exam are questions that were already asked in each of the module quizzes, and then there are some new ones, and you get to use all your notes and all the transcripts and all the worksheets and everything to answer those questions, and it's pass/fail. Are there different requirements for the final recording than the midterm one? Great question. No. You're going to get different feedback on the final than on the midterm. The midterm, you got more specific feedback. The final, you'll get pass/fail on it unless there are some things to tweak. Randa, we usually drop the final exam within a couple of days of the end of the program. And how long until it's due? Yeah, so I don't, yeah, you maybe you came a couple days late, a couple days late, a couple minutes late, Randa. What I was saying is everything is due on January 5th. However, there are some people that are going to submit after January 5th, and we will accommodate that if you need an extension. I want you to be successful in this. I want you to get certified if you want to. So we will accommodate if you need more time, but try to get it in by the 5th. Okay. Great. The other piece I wanted to quickly mention is that I'm so just my heart is so full that a number of you have already stepped into advanced, a number of you have stepped into the depths. If it is right for you to continue our work together, it just makes me so happy. And we've had a couple of the same questions on some things when it comes to advanced, and so I just wanted to quickly answer them. So, number one, what I offered and shared with you for advanced depth includes integration of sacred depths. So it's optional if you choose, you get to come live to all of the second half of Sacred Depths, all of the classes starting again in January. If that's something, and I know for some of you that it feels like something you really want, that you get to move through the material live again, or some of the material live, you can pick and choose, be there to process it again, to ask more questions, etc. That is there for you. In addition to that, in the advanced retreats, we're learning new techniques, but everything that we learn, we're going back also to the skills and sacred depths and then building on them. So just advanced in and of itself is a deeper integration of everything that we're learning in sacred depths. You don't need to have gone for certification or submitted certification materials in order to step into advanced at all. I said this on the call last week, but I really want to say it again. You're not stepping in from a place of not enough. You are enough through sacred depths. You've received so much. You are so good to be out in the world and working with clients. If you step into it, advanced, it's from a place of I want more. I want more for my clients and I want more for my own personal evolution. We do a lot of personal work in advanced and then a lot of deeper, you learn a lot of deeper techniques for your client work. It's more of a spacious program than sacred depths. So, first of all, there's space between now and June when the program officially begins. And also, the way that the program is set up, because I know that we're all busy, but because you have this strong foundation from sacred depths, we get to have more spaciousness when we go deeper. So, it's about every 10 weeks we meet for an intensive amount of time. And then you get to integrate it in those 10 weeks in between. I designed it on purpose that way because I know our lives are busy. And I know that after the 10 months of this kind of intense, almost every week of sacred depths, we need kind of more space in between. A couple of you have asked about, what you get business-wise in advanced. So just as a review, you continue to get the monthly business Q&A calls, and instead of just for the year of advanced, I'm giving you 18 months of it. You get additional business trainings and recordings to go deeper with your marketing and how you're moving forward with your business. And a couple of you have asked, like, can we all in an intimate group, just the people from this cohort, come together for a business day? And I think that's a fantastic idea. If enough of you want that, I'm more than happy, For us to just to add that in as like a day of business support, seeing some hands raised and planning and all of that. So let me know. I love that idea so much. The special pricing is good until Friday. Special pricing is good until Friday. If you want to do the payment plan again, just the deposit now. And then if you want to wait until February for the monthly to start, or if you need a little bit of a different plan around that, very happy to do that. If you're thinking about it, but you feel like you still have questions, set up a time to talk with Caitlin or Inbal. Or if you want to talk to me personally, I know a lot of times people want that. I'm happy to talk to you personally as well. Okay, some questions in the chat. First, about certification. Vlada, how about if we decide to work on certification retro? Yes, we can figure that out, Vlada, for sure, if you want to do that. Are the photo, bio, and website included as certification submission requirements? You can, AJ, you can submit that whenever you're ready. If you don't feel ready when you submit the certification, the other certification requirements, you can wait on that. We'll get it up there for you as soon as you are ready. Yeah, Angela, I hear you. So we can set, let's set up a time to talk, or Caitlin or Inbal, if you want some support with that. And of course, you all know. I'm not attached at all. Like, I want me and Caitlin and Inbal, I want to support you to make the right decision for you. Yeah, the business day would be just for people as another bonus for people in advanced. Okay. All that being said, let's jump into being in the mystery and letting go. And this session today also marks the third unit in Sacred Depths. So our first unit was all foundational skills. Our second unit was all different tools and techniques and ways of supporting clients through obstacles. And our third unit is like still supporting clients through obstacles for sure, but we're kind of where we're moving in this unit is into places that you're not going to find. I mean, so much of what we've covered already, you're not going to find in other coach training programs. But like this last unit in particular, it's kind of a combination of coaching, philosophy, spiritual work, added bonus items, I would call it. In our work today around being in the mystery and letting go, it is a topic with such depth and so many layers all at the same time. We're going to skim the surface today, but also just skimming the surface on this topic is so deep. And it will help you so much in your own process and with clients. So, a lot of times, or most of the time in coaching, especially like kind of the, I'll call it standard coaching out there, you'll see that there's so much talk about creating. And we talk here about creating a lot too, and visioning and all of that. There's so much talk about creating, but there's very rarely conversation about not doing, and definitely not conversation about destroying. We speak so often about having more, but we rarely speak about the benefits of less and also of loss. And that's really what we're going to be looking at today. Because the truth is that life, real life, not like the glossy, like coaching, like create, all of that. The truth is like real life, which is what Sacred Depths coaching is all about, is about both. It's about creating And it's about the right time for destroying. It's about the right moments for manifesting and the right moments for letting go. It's about the right moments for more, and also that there's right moments for less. And it's also about the fact that there are the right moments for clarity. And then there's also aligned moments for fogginess, for not so much clarity. And because this is real life, the holding and the navigating of both of these truths, the fact is that your clients are going to encounter moments for the other one, the one that doesn't get really talked about so much in the coaching industry. And it's going to be important for you to be able to hold that space with them and help them navigate it, right? So, for example, there are going to be moments where it's time for a client to leave a marriage or leave a partner, or they'll experience the loss of a partner in one way or another. There's going to be moments where it's time for a partner to leave a home, or maybe they'll lose a job, or it's time for them to leave a job. There are going to be, if you're working with entrepreneurs, there's going to be a moment where it's actually right for your client to let go of some of their clients or some of their programs, or to stop taking on more clients. There's going to be times when a client is going to experience illness. And because of that, it's going to be a moment for doing much less instead of pushing to do more. There are going to be moments where there are death of loved ones, or for whatever reason, needing space versus taking a lot of action. And if we had all day, I could tell you many, many stories in my own life where it has been the right moment for less instead of more, for letting go instead of creating. And I'll just share one of those moments right now, because I think it will be helpful. I led a program called Entrepreneurial Happiness and Abundance for many years. And it was a kind of a very intimate and high-level business coaching program. And the people in this program were like a dream. A dream just for me as a practitioner. We did such incredible work together. And it was such a beautiful and tight container that basically everybody re-signed over and over and over again. And so it was pretty much the same group of women for 7 years. Like they were so dedicated and committed, and I was so dedicated and committed to them, and just incredible. Anyway, somewhere about a third of the way into our 7th year together, the year was going incredibly. People were moving forward. It was wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But I started to feel inside of me that it was the last year. And at first, I tried to ignore it. I didn't want to pay attention, not only because it was such an incredible program, but it was such easy money. Honestly, it was such easy money for me. I didn't have to market, you know, and I knew that they would just continue on like as long as I offered it. But I started to just get this feeling that at the end of the 7th year, that it was time for a rest, that it was time for a close. And over a couple of months, I started to really understand that more. First, I was like, oh, it's my attachment issues. I feel like they've had enough of me, or I don't know, like all the stuff. And but as I like inspected it more and more, it was just so clear, like, no, this is a truth. We have traveled as a community so deeply together. We have gone so far together. And now it is time for these women to know that they can do this without this particular container of support. And I just knew in my heart that if we continued into the eighth year, if I offered it, they would all say yes. But it would be, I don't say to their detriment, but it wouldn't be fully aligned. I knew that a couple of them, it was meant that we would continue privately, but as a group, I felt it. And yet I was so scared, and it made no business sense whatsoever. But I still decided that that was it was time for a close. And I'm so grateful that I had the courage to do that, because not only was it the right choice, not only do I still keep in touch with every single one of those women, and they're so dear to me, but it was the right choice for the community. And as it turns out, it was the right choice for my business, because in letting that program go, it allowed me to expand into some other places that I never would have if I would have continued with it. So as practitioners, I think it's just so important for us to understand that letting go sometimes is important, even when there's hard decisions attached to it. And it's not just letting go, but it's understanding that being in the mystery can have a lot of value. And when I say being in the mystery, I mean being in the unknown. In our culture today, we're such clarity chasers that we've become a little bit scared of not knowing. You know, we feel like we always need to know what's next in my business, what's next in my relationship with, whatever it is. And there are moments of that for sure. That's why I love visioning. But there can be so much power in not knowing and being in the in-between sometimes. If, as practitioners, we don't honor this, then we become what I call push coaches. Always pushing and prodding clients forward, instead of supporting clients to find the aligned and organic pace that they're meant to be in any given moment. When we are push coaches, we also end up bypassing feelings that need to be felt, synchronicities that are ready to be experienced, and potential opportunities that would be missed if the pushing continued to happen. You all with me so far on this? Okay. I think a lot of harm is done sometimes in certain coaching communities when there's a push mentality and a more mentality. Okay, so let's take a step back for a moment and just briefly touch upon cycles. So, probably all of you have heard me share this before, and so many of you probably also just know this from your own knowing and experience and wisdom. But if we look to nature, if we look to the earth, if we look to the cycle of the wheel of the year, if we look to the cycle of the moon, if we look to a human being's life cycle, or animal life cycle, basically everything goes in cycles. And if we look closer, there are four phases to the cycle. So there's a phase of, and we can compare this to the spring, there's a phase of initiating, planting, starting something new, new moon phase, morning. If we look at a day, a cycle of a day, it's the morning. After initiation phase, there's a growth phase akin to the summer, akin to high noon, approaching the full moon, all about whatever we've initiated to persistently and consistently work at, to show up, to water the plants, to make sure they're getting enough sunlight to grow the projects that we've initiated. After that, there's always a phase of harvest, autumn time. I in a daytime cycle for this is like when it's still daylight, but you're not working anymore. You're just appreciating that you've gotten to the end of the day. Harvesting is all about enjoying the fruits of your labor, plucking the fruits off the trees to enjoy the fruits and also save some for the long winter. We so seldomly in our culture give ourselves the joy of the harvest. We're in that phase right now. And then after autumn and harvest is winter, is nighttime, is the dark of the moon, is the mystery of the long night, the letting go of the day, the rest, and the letting things be. A percentage of the work that I often do with clients when we first start working together is supporting them to heal from being misaligned with the rhythms because they've been stuck mostly in spring and summer, on and on and on and on and on, without a rest and without an allowing things to settle. And a big part of that work is supporting clients to be able to step into and embody what I call a winter phase. A winter phase can be a sabbatical. A winter phase can be a space, a time where you intentionally create more spaciousness, more time for rest. A winter phase can be a time where you release something, you let something die, you let it go. A winter phase can be dedicated time for grieving a loss. And when I say winter phase, it doesn't have to happen during the winter. It doesn't have to last for, 3 months of a season. Some people, a winter phase is 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month. Some people, a winter phase is a year. So, obvious, what I'm going to say next is obvious, but I'll just say it anyway. Why is it important to honor when it's time to let go? When it's time to have more space, when it's time to do less, why is it important to consciously step into a winter phase when it's the right time? Well, there's many reasons. So number one, and maybe you've experienced this for yourself, when we're just go, 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 and we don't honor when it's time for more space or to let something go, it can create misalignment in our lives. We end up choosing things that are actually not aligned for what we need. It's also important to consciously step into a winter phase when it's time, because or else we end up doing too much. We can get exhausted. We can get sick from that. It's important sometimes to step into a winter phase to break pattern so that we can create space and creativity and inspiration for the next things to come. It's important to create a winter phase so that we don't bypass the time that we need to heal from an illness or a trauma or a major life change or for grieving. Right, Angela is asking in the chat a question. This mentality of pushing is somehow expected by the client. Yep, the coaching industry and the cult capitalist culture at large has trained all of us to be in that mentality. And some even seek the help of a coach to get coached, of a coach to get pushed. Absolutely. Have you ever experienced the client wanting to be pushed and how you said it was time for the mystery? Yes, and yes. So, absolutely. Like a often, I'd say more often than not, it's not like the client is like, Joanna, help me figure out how to let things go and slow things down because I don't want, right? Like, usually it's not every now and again, right? But usually, if it's an aligned time for winter, part of it is me creating awareness. Co-creating awareness with the clients on the importance of all of this. And that's why I'm kind of giving this foundation for all of us, because it is a different mentality than a lot of clients initially have. And we also don't want to push someone into, right, push someone into a winter phase if they're like until they are ready to take that initiative themselves. Sometimes it happens in an instant, you know, I'll create awareness, and sometimes I'll share about the cycles or I'll share a personal experience, right? And then ask a question. And then, like, in an instant, the client is like, oh, that's yes, right? And because I've shared a personal experience, it normalizes and gives more permission. They're like, oh, Joanna can take a sabbatical. So sometimes it's that. Sometimes we have to do some befriending fear around it. And again, I'll never push. If a client is like, no, that's not for me, I'm not going to go there. But if a client is like, oh, I think there's something in that, but I'm really scared, or I have these, you know, beliefs or whatever, we'll do a rewiring process. We'll do a befriend your fear process, etc. Angela, at the end of this call, I'm also going to go through other ways to support clients in this. So hang on, we'll get to more. But is that answering your question for now? Good. Yeah, great question. Okay, and I think that what I want to share next is great. Angela's question was a great segue into it, which is that, okay, so, you know, I just described all of these beautiful reasons, simplicity, space, like the time to grieve, the time to rest. Like, of course, let's like go into a winter phase, right? But we know that it's not so easy to do that, right? Even for myself. And I'm a student of the cycles for decades now, and I teach this for decades now. And even for myself, I always have resistance initially when it's time, right? So why is it so hard? Why is it so hard to step into a winter phase? Well, a couple of reasons. Number one, again, just because culture has trained us to not honor the rhythms. By the way, that's why we overwork the earth too. We're just constantly like expecting the earth to yield more and yield more and yield more from us without giving it a sabbatical. And that's like I just want to say like it's just a parallel with what we have to learn as humans. We have to learn this for the earth as well. So why is it so hard to step into a winter phase? The fear of missing out, the fear of scarcity, the addiction to more, The fear of change. The addiction to clarity and always needing to know. For some people, it's hard to step into a winter phase because they have a fear of open space and time and what co might come up for them with more spaciousness. For some people, it's a fear of grieving. For some people, it's a fear of letting others down. Who will I let down if I let this thing go? Right? That came up for me in that program I was talking about. Who will I let down if I create more space for myself or whatever it is? Last year, I took a sabbatical from my private practice, and it was overdue. Honestly, I was in resistance. Like, I knew a year earlier that it was already time and I wasn't willing. And the reason why was because I was scared of letting my clients down. I didn't want to tell them I'm taking this time off. Of course, it was exactly what everybody needed. But it can feel scary, right? If I wouldn't have taken the sabbatical off from private clients last year, I would have crashed and burned. Like, I am so certain of that. I was doing too much. It was going too fast. I could feel I was having trouble grounding in my nervous system. I could feel like starting to just like feeling a little not enjoying my work. And like, my biggest, so aside from my children, like, my biggest joy is my work. And I wasn't feeling that in the same way. It was scary to do, but it was so important. And I also want to say, I understand that for some people, it's not like I'm coming from a privileged place of what I've, where my business is at to have been able to take that time off from private clients. And so I want to make sure that I acknowledge that too. Like, sometimes some sabbaticals or spaciousness is gonna are gonna look different for some people or some clients than for others. In earlier phases of my business, the sabbatical has looked like 3 weeks off in August, which I always take 3 or 4 weeks off, or not working on Fridays, or whatever I've been able to do. All right. Let's pause here. I am hoping that some different things are being stirred in the cauldron right now. And so to start to like ground some of it and go deeper with it, I'm going to ask you some journaling questions. First question. What is your relationship with letting things go? What is your relationship with letting things go? Take another moment with that. And then next question, what's your relationship with scarcity or always needing to accumulate more or to do or to be more? What's your relationship with scarcity or your relationship to always needing to accumulate more or do more or be more? Take another half minute on that one. I still have a bunch of questions. All right, next question. What's your relationship with surrender or not knowing or being in the mystery? What's your relationship with surrender or not knowing or being in the mystery? Okay. What's one thing in your life right now that you know is ready to die or be let go of, but you've been clinging on to it? So this can be a relationship, a habit, a way of being, a client. Anything. What is one thing in your life that you know is ready to die right now, but you've been clinging on to it? I'm gonna share just one other quick personal thing just to kind of give some other examples. Some of you might know I am very, very close with my parents, and I probably have mentioned here before, my mother is very ill and has been for much of my life. She has multiple sclerosis, and over the last 15 or so years, it's been really just the most extreme MS that there is, pretty much, or close to it. Anyway, because of my devotion as a daughter, and probably just because of some of my Jewish immigrant upbringing, where it's like you stay with the parents always, when John and I got engaged, I said to him, I was like, look, before we get married, I want for us to go to a couples counselor for a couple sessions because you need to understand that I'm never going to leave the New York, New Jersey area. Like, that's part of the deal of marrying me is we are staying near my parents. And he was totally fine with it anyway, but he's like, sure, we can also do some sessions if you want. And we did some sessions, all fine and good, and we got married and we were married for a couple years and we had our first kid. And then, wouldn't you know it, a major opportunity came up for him in North Carolina professionally. And without getting, I will tell any of you the longer story at some point if you want to know, but quick, like without getting into the details, I knew this was something that John would never tell me because he just loves and wants me to be happy. Like he would never say, I really want to move, but I knew that it was something that he needed. And I knew that it was going to be important for our relationship. And I also knew that it was time to leave, even though I didn't want to admit it, even though my mother is so sick, even though it went against every single belief that I was raised with of what it means to be a good daughter. And somehow, I don't know how, but because I just believed that this is what John and I was important for me and John and Penina at the time, y'all wasn't around, I decided that we should move here. And it was the hardest, literally the hardest, harder decision than to decide to get married, to become an entrepreneur, to have kids. It was the hardest decision I've ever made in my whole entire life to leave where I had grown up, to leave being close to my parents, to let go of the way that that relationship was. And I don't want to say that it's been a happy ending, just in terms of like my parents 10 years later still haven't fully forgiven me. Just think Jewish guilt. But anyway, like they have, like still all this time, they haven't fully forgiven me. And yet, that letting go for me, that being willing was so vital. Not just to all the things that I mentioned, but to me going deeper and like individuating and becoming more of who I am. Okay, whatever you identified of that thing in your life that you know is ready to be let go of, but you've been clinging on, why have you been clinging on? Why have you been clinging on? What's the fear? What are you scared of? All right, let's pause here. We've looked at a lot so far together, and I'd love to hear a couple of your voices. What is really feeling important to you so far? What are you starting to see that's really resonating or that's feeling really important for you here? Who'd like to share? Michaelyn.
Oh my gosh, the list could be long, but I did focus in on two things. The first one was just clutter. And if you looked at my house, you wouldn't say it's cluttered, but I'm really aware of my attic and my laundry room and the scrapbook supplies that aren't quite finished, and I want to go through it all and I want to clean it up and I really want to get clean on all the stuff I've been storing for so long. And I realize that I want to be the heart and home for my kids, even though two of them are out of the house now, one of them's 2 years away. I want to be that critical mass place, that place where home resides. And getting rid of the stuff might loosen their need to come home. And the flip side of that is I really want to learn to just trust that what they're connected to is their relationship with me and with my husband and not with the so much.
Yes, that. And you actually segued into a question I was going to ask, which is what would you need to believe in order to not cling on, right? And that's it. At the heart of it, the long, right? That knowing that their relationship with you and your husband is solid, the stuff is the stuff. That's actually not what the relationship is. Beautiful. Thank you. Cecil.
Hi. So I am just sort of beaming with happiness because I feel like this is my superpower as a coach. And I hadn't understood in a way what life has presented to me, how that has prepped me for this in this way. And it's not that it's easy to let go of things for me, and it's just like easy peasy, but it's very easy for me to accept that other people have to do so and to facilitate it and to, yeah. And yeah, I don't know. It feels like a confirmation of what it is that I can after quite a long while of looking for that. Yeah.
So glad. I can see it on your face, and I'm so happy that you're having that experience of knowing that this is your superpower.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Jackie.
Hi. Some pretty vulnerable things showed up for me as I was journaling on those last few questions, but and I felt like I needed to either express this or share this. So here we are. So as I journaled on the last question, like what am I scared of and why have I been clinging on? This essence, this sense showed up for me of being terrified and scared of being like standing on my own two emotional feet. And I had no awareness around this, but then the answer came that I'm scared of feeling raped, specifically emotionally raped, and like the violence and the attacking that comes from being out in the world, from being visible, from being seen. And it really is about like the individuation process, right? And like learning how to find that confidence within myself. Because that's something I've struggled with for so long, which is what I've been really weirdly holding on to. But apparently that is really, and I've never been like physically, violated in those ways. And so that was really interesting that that showed up. It was very, very intense.
I know it's not fun or comfortable when these pieces come up, and I'm also so glad that they are, so that you can kind of really have this important awareness. And I may not be right, so tell me if this lands for you, but I have a sense, Jackie, that one of the reasons why it felt important to share is because it's ready to shift.
Yeah, that feels true. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Lara.
I think what's coming up for me is the difference between intellectually letting go of something and emotionally letting go, because I think I, for my entire life, I was kind of a survivor and just moving forward and let's take action, boom, boom, boom. And I can intellectualize till the cows come home. I mean, there really is, everything has a reason. I learned something about, but I didn't take the time to think about, like, no, actually that really hurt. And so I would continue to relive these experiences because they hadn't fully been able to deal with the emotional impact.
Yeah, that such astute awareness coming through, that feels just so important to recognize. It's like on the outer, you're really good, get over that, right? But then how are you supporting yourself emotionally and somatically to actually embody the loss in ways that are really aligned and healthy for you? Good. Thank you for sharing. And, you know, that just from a practitioner point of view, also, I'm so glad you're sharing, because we may have clients like that too, that they present as like, oh yeah, they no problem, right? But then what's happening on the inner level around it, and how can we hold the container to support them? Good. All right, and one more share for now, Vlada.
I acutely see the connection between not letting go and wanting to have more. Sometimes...
Vlada, speak a little louder.
Okay. I'm saying that I actually realize that it's letting go is a difficulty, but also wanting to have more. So being uneasy to not have enough. So subscribing to more courses, getting more things just because maybe I will need it. And sometimes we do. And all of that creating actually overwhelm and some kind of clutter, just as Mike Lynn was saying. And sometimes it's mental clutter, sometimes it's also physical clutter, and I guess they are the same thing in the end. So, and in certain ways, being very comfortable to be in the mystery, and going to places that feel uneasy and somewhat anxiety provoking of not knowing, and in sometimes lingering there too long, just because what if I don't know enough, if I'm ready to step into the knowing? So that boundary has been difficult. And I'm sure we're going into that.
yeah, a little bit. And what you're saying is something, I'm glad that you're bringing it up, because that can happen too, is like, getting stuck in the winter, which is why some people are scared of stepping into the winter. And as practitioners, it's like we hold this space and really have to help our clients walk this line of knowing, either like, yes, it's still time for more space, it's still marinating, and then when to say, you know what, I'm ready to take that next step over. And sometimes the work is about like nothing has to be final too, right? Like spring, which we're not going to be talking about here, but we do a lot of it in Into the Depths actually on the cycles. But just for everyone, like spring is about being willing to be the fool and take risks and be that maiden. Even when we don't fully know, spring starts when it's still halfway dark. Spring equinox is half dark, half light. We don't have full clarity. We have to be willing to kind of take our chances in a way to start anything new.
Yeah. be partly still in the mystery, but actually start advancing.
Yeah. Good. Okay. All right, let's keep on going. How do you know if a client is ready to step into a winter phase or is ready to let go of something? Because very rarely they're going to be like, you know what? I'm ready to let go of this thing. Or, you know what? I, like we said earlier, I'm ready to take a rest. Every now and again they will. But how do you know when they might be ready? Angela's saying when he's about to break down. Mm-hmm. Good. What else? Share in the chat. What are some clues? If you're using your listening skills and listening all around, what are some ways you might know? Cecil is saying no juice in their body and their expressions and their ideas. Yes, that can be an indicator too, for sure. Good. What else? When they're tired, burnt out, or emotional. Yes, Randa, absolutely. Mm-hmm. When they're confused onto which path to take, absolutely, that can be a thing. Sometimes it can be fear or resistance, the confusion, right? So we want to kind of use all the tools to see if it's resistance or fear, or if it there needs to be that mystery time. Absolutely. Anyone else want to share? How else do you know? What are some other clues? Restlessness, that can be a sign for sure. Lack of grounding. When they're no longer aligned and need to find a new why or a new path. Yeah, when they can't. Yeah, Lane is saying the same thing. When they can't connect to their why, when they aren't following through with action steps, though again, the action steps could go either way. Yeah. When everything in their lives is breaking down. Yep. Lack of passion, enthusiasm, good. Okay, so in a little bit, we're gonna get to some more like coaching strategies. But before we do, I said that this class was kind of a little spiritual or philosophical, if you will. And I just wanna share briefly some pieces of wisdom that can be helpful for you as the practitioner to remember and co-create awareness with your clients when they are ready to step in or have stepped in. And try these on for yourself. Nothing I share is truth with a capital T. See if these land for you. Because remember, part of creating awareness is sometimes facting or consulting and sharing, offering wisdom that a client might really find helpful. So here are a couple pieces of wisdom around all of this. In order, most of the time, in order for rebirth or new birth to happen, a letting go or a death needs to happen first. Spring can't happen without winter. We can't jump from autumn to spring. We need the winter. Here's another piece of wisdom that can be helpful sometimes. I think I've shared this with all of you before. Trees grow the most in the winter. Trees grow the most in the winter. We think that trees are dead when we look at them in the winter because there's no leaves, but it's when their roots underground are being nourished the most. And in fact, they need to stop the production of the leaves, I mean, most of the trees, in order to have the energy and the space to strengthen their roots underground. Here's another piece of wisdom. Sometimes the greatest visioning happens in the mystery. Sometimes the greatest visioning happens in the mystery. And we're in that season now. For those of you that are in the same hemisphere as I am, we're approaching Halloween. It's the moment of letting go of the earth. It's the witch's new year is Halloween, and it's like, well, why is it the witch's new year? And that, like, when we're about to go into the darkest time of the year, and it's because where do we dream? We dream in the dark, where there are no boundaries, where we don't have to set to the rules of the light, where anything can happen. That's when alchemy and transmutation happens in the dark, in the mystery. Here's another piece of wisdom that might resonate. When things are full, the universe doesn't see a place in order to give more. So if your schedule is filled up, if you're filled up with all of these clients, if you're filled up with all of these activities, with all of this stuff in your house, right, whatever it is for you, but you're really wanting like something new for your home or a new thing for your business or a new habit in your schedule, it's hard for a new thing to drop in when everything is already so packed and full. Here's another piece of wisdom that might be helpful for you or your client. The spring always comes, even in the middle of the winter, when we think it won't, it always comes. Better to have less, but have it be aligned, than to have more and have it be misaligned. Again, in this culture of more, 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 more isn't always the aligned things. It's better to have less in an aligned way than more in a misaligned way. A couple of others. I mean, I could go on for days, but just a couple of others for now. For us as practitioners, so important for us to remember that my client is whole and complete and able to let go and withstand that. The moment that we forget that our clients are whole and complete are the moments that we're going to be scared that our clients aren't able to withstand loss that's necessary. And then we're going to hold back in our support of them in it. Likewise, not only is it important energetically for us to believe this about our clients, but it's important for us to know that we are able and strong enough to hold space for loss and grief. Couple others. Sometimes it's easier for some people to think about letting go as giving it up to spirit versus letting it go completely. So for some people, just kind of a reframe around giving it up to spirit or source or whatever it is can be helpful versus just like I'm letting it go and it's done. And then I'll just share this last one for now. And this is maybe the most important thing that I've said so far in this whole class. Health and well-being above all else. I say that with like it's so important, right? Health and well-being above all else. All right, so for you, as we went through these, which one of these do you kind of want to like star circle, underline, and remember for yourself? Or is there another one? There are many that I haven't mentioned, or is there another one that you want to like write down and star circle, underline for yourself when it comes to wisdom in the winter? Cecil saying the fine line between surrender and collapse. I love that. Okay. So all of this to get to how can we support our clients to make those hard decisions, to release or let go or create space or move into a winter phase? How can we help our clients with this? Number one, no attachment to outcome. This is so important. You know, we've looked at this one in other contexts for practitioners, energetics, but this is so important with this in particular. If I, for example, if I'm supporting a client with their business and I am attached to them, whatever, making X amount of money in the next 6 months, and it becomes apparent that what they actually need is space and a winter phase, if I'm attached to know they need to make this by this amount of time, it's going to be so hard for me to hold the space for our client to make an aligned decision for themselves. So no attachment to outcome. Number two, remembering just for yourself that there's always more than one way to reach a goal. That can help with not being attached to an outcome. There's always more than one way to reach a goal. And then one other kind of practitioner, energetic piece for helping our clients make hard decisions. Again, taking a stand for their well-being. I have had clients who are get it done gals. They know how to source the adrenaline. They've created and they've been like ready to do more. But I have like through conversation, I've seen that is not good for their well-being in that moment. And I have had to like do the courageous work of taking a stand for their well-being, never pushing them into taking a break, but being willing to challenge them on the pace that they're going at. All right, like I said earlier, creating awareness. This is huge. Creating awareness alone on any of the things that we spoke about today, either through like consulting and facting, sharing the wisdom, either through some of the questions that I asked you or asking other, you have all of your questioning skills as a way of co-creating awareness, reflecting hard truths, honoring, acknowledging what, you know, everything we learned around creating awareness. So huge with this. Oftentimes our clients don't even have the awareness that it is a possibility to stop, that it's a possibility to slow down, that it's a possibility to let go of something, that it's a possibility to not know and be in the mystery. Creating that awareness, normalizing this experience of winter, allows for permission in it. You've heard me say this before, normalizing is the opposite of shaming, right? There can sometimes be so much shame around, I need to take a break, or I can't do as much right now, or it's time to let this thing go, or whatever it is, right? So co-creating awareness, normalizing, supporting clients in that awareness, huge, 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 huge. Honoring before releasing. honoring before releasing. So this is where some of my ritualist pieces are coming into our session. I mean, they're throughout all of Sacred Depths, but kind of like more specifically in our session today. It's really hard to let go of something, whether it's like a physical thing or a habit or a schedule or like whatever it is. It's really hard, or a relationship, it's really hard to let go of something if it hasn't first been honored. Even if it's like so no longer aligned, honor, that's why the harvest comes before the release. When we have an opportunity to acknowledge how this thing has served, why this thing has been so important in our lives up until now, and really like give it the honor that it deserves. This is why we eulogize when people pass away. Not that we're releasing those folks, but like the relationship in the way that we've had it, right? So honoring before releasing can be so huge in supporting someone to let go or to slow down or whatever it is. Yeah, or to let go of a place, absolutely. Holding space for grief. Sometimes grief is gonna come up as a client considers letting go or being in the mystery, or like sometimes it won't come up at all. Sometimes it'll come up before they do it. Sometimes it'll come up when they're in the middle of it. So being willing to hold the space with our clients for them to experience grief, for them to feel the sadness, and to give them the gift of that space. And into the depths, we look very specifically at how to hold space for grief. Challenging cultural and patriarchal norms, and not just the ones that we've spoken about today and in Myth of Perfection, because that the Myth of Perfection stuff plays into what we're talking about today as well, but also, for example, challenging meritocracy. Right? Like, you need, in order to be valuable, you need to continue to achieve. That's something, and especially as like the child of immigrants, that has been like pounded into me that I have to keep on coming back to and working on, or else I'd just like be an energizer bunny on and on and on and on. Supporting clients to define for themselves terms like abundance, success, happiness, meaningful life, authentic living, right? Whatever is going to be for that client. But so often the culture just like has already defined and packaged that definition for us, and we take it as a truth, but taking the time to support a client for them to define that for themselves can often help give permission for space. Does that make sense, what I'm saying? Yeah, okay, good. Coming back to clarifying priorities and values, what they really want from life, similar to what I was just saying before, but coming back to their values. Like, I guarantee, well, I'm not going to guarantee 100%, but I can say, like, most people, their value isn't going to be more and more and more and more, you know, money, right? Like, yes, they may want some of that, but like, what are the values? And then that can, you can help them make decisions from that place of value. Supporting clients to cultivate trust. This is where the spirit level of learning and processing can be so useful. I mean, in many ways, it is an act of trust to step into the winter. I think about the trees, you know, with what consciousness the trees have, like there is a trust in letting go of the leaves and knowing that the spring is going to come. So coming back to higher level spiritual beliefs and embodying them, not attached to religion necessarily, because sometimes those can be the opposite. I'm going to share, okay, we have just a few minutes left. Okay, so here's another thing that I like to do, and I do this for myself all the time, and I do this with clients too. I play this game with myself when I know it's time to create more space, and then all the fears come up of the scarcity and I'm not going to have and all the things. I play this game where I make a list, or I'll invite a client to make a list of everything that I have that nobody can take away from me, no matter what. Things like my wisdom, my intuition, the love that I have inside, you know, all of the experience of the years or whatever it is, like, even if, so the exercise is like, even if everything were to fall apart because I've taken this space or I've let this thing go, what is a list of things that I have that I know nobody can take away with me, that I know those are resources that I can use to rebuild? Does that make sense? It's try it for yourself. It's such a powerful exercise to know I can always rebuild. Like, these are the things that I have no matter what, no matter if everything else falls apart. These are the resources that I have. And then our next module is about time. Another tool, so we'll get deep into it, but another tool is to support clients to learn how to make space. In like actual time space in their lives. So we'll do a lot of looking at that next. Okay, I don't want to have the last word. I want to hear from a couple of you. What are you taking? And like I said, there's so much more here. We're scratching the surface, and also it's deep, but I want you to continue going with this. Let me give you quick homework, and then I want to hear from a couple of you what you're taking. Give yourself one or two or three journaling questions based on what came through for you today, and then journal on them. So what are three questions, if you were the coach, which you are, of yourself, what are three questions that you would want to ask? Use your questioning skills and journal on them. An invitation, next piece of homework, if you want to take this on, an invitation to dialogue with the mystery. Close your eyes, connect into the energy of the mystery, and ask the mystery what it wants you to know. Kind of like a BYF, but with the mystery. Make a list of your clients and where in their lives they're ready for a winter phase. So it doesn't have to be like everything gets let go of, right? But look, think of your different clients, if you're working with some, where do you sense they're ready for a winter phase? Yeah, so the journaling question again is based on whatever's come through for you today. Craft one or two or three questions for you to journal for yourself on. Basically coach yourself. All right, before we wrap, I'd love to hear one or two of your voices. What are you taking from our time together today? What are your takeaways? Who'd like to share? Jolly.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, brilliant. It was so heartwarming to have this class today. I lived in Japan for 20 years in total, but 16 years before I moved here to the UK. And I didn't want to leave. I didn't want to leave, but I knew we had to. So yeah, this was really good to understand why I was feeling that.
Yeah, I'm so glad. Yeah. So perfect timing. Thank you for sharing, Michaelyn.
My takeaway is that I often don't want to look at letting go because it just feels like loss and threatening somehow to me. But I have this sense that's been really growing throughout this call today that if I can do that and be brave enough to really look at it, that there's some really cool stuff underneath that that's waiting to come in. So I'm ready to do that in a way that feels good to me. So thank you for this call today. It's been really great.
Yeah, you're so welcome. I can feel just like a shift of perspective around all of this over the last hour and a half. Thank you. And Kelly.
Yeah, thank you so much for this call. Just amazing. And I'm feeling very witnessed both by you and like all the shares in the chat. Witness and mirrored, I think I should say. But I'm realizing that I have been in this space of doing so much letting go with this big move. And there's been a lot of letting go of stuff. Like 2 years ago, I said, I'm getting rid of a third of my stuff. And I think I did. And it was just like a year and a half journey. And then before we moved, it was even more. And then there's all the things that we don't want to release that are, I mean, there's the stuff things that I wanted to, didn't want to. But then it's like the people and then coming into a space and what do I need to release and let go of to come into this space now, and just recognizing that there is a level of grief and loss that I'm feeling, having done a really big transition. And then my other thing was I just did this ceremony with a client this morning, and she's someone that I've worked with for years and years. And we've done a lot of work on she has bipolar, and I've done a lot of work over the years, and I've seen her in many different phases and moments and seasons. And we started working before I had sort of tapped into this idea of the seasons years ago, with this idea of like really understanding she, persists in these seasons that are really, really marked in her life. And we just did this ceremony of honoring all of them. And it's actually like the 10 years, she said, we're coming up on 10 years together. And on and off. And it was just like everything that you've been speaking, I just feel like was kind of all laid out in our ceremony this morning. And so it was just beautiful to give it form and concept in the way that you so beautifully do. And also just to honor all the parts, because all of them have medicine and duty that they bring us. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm so glad. It feels like a deeper recognition. I think you already knew, but I feel like there's a deeper recognition that it's like you've been letting go of all these things, but you haven't created the space to grieve the letting go. And that feels important next. Good. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for your presence and just all that you brought to this really, really important call. It says a lot. It says a lot that this is important to you. And I just really want to acknowledge everyone for that. I'm sending lots of love, and I'm around if you need anything. And I'll see you all very soon. Bye.